On this last Monday of the month, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Lots to discuss in politics. So let's get up to speed with help from WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Some roadmap for discussion. We'll look at the redistricting-related litigation and what's going on in the state Supreme Court as it sets political map boundaries for the next decade, campaign coffers in the race for governor with the primary set for August. And we start with the state's fiscal position and what to do with a $3.8 billion surplus projected by June 2023. Where do you want this money directed? How would you feel about a tax rebate for every Wisconsinite? What about sending it to education, as the governor proposes? 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
Well, we got a rosy report there from the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau in recent days, projecting that nearly $3 billion more than expected. On top of the that, there's $1.7 billion in the rainy day fund. So it really appears state coffers are flush. What's going on?
What's going on is that the economy and tax revenues have grown faster than the Fiscal Bureau projected the last time they did these revenue estimates, which actually happened last time too. I mean, you've seen this a few times since the COVID-19 pandemic began. We had one set of estimates that were pretty dire and, you know, looked like the whole economy was going to fall off a cliff, basically. And then as we kind of bounced back from that, there have been a series of good revenue estimates from the Fiscal Bureau, you know, meaning there's more tax revenue coming to state government. And this was the latest of those. And so it's kind of significant because it happens not right ahead of when the governor is scheduled to deliver a budget, but right ahead of when the governor is scheduled to run for re-election. So You have this big pot of money sitting in this, or projected to be in the state's general fund. And that gives the governor and his opponents a lot of stuff to talk about.
And we're going to talk about that race in a moment. But these new numbers, they raise estimates for sales tax. They raise estimates for income tax. Is this connected to a low unemployment rate?
It's the Fiscal Bureau mentions that for sure. It seems like if you're going to put, I guess, simplify it, it would be a kind of a consumer driven, a tax bump here. And it is tied to the national economy as well. I mean, like any of these revenue estimates are tied to the national economy. Our Fiscal Bureau, our budget office, relies on this report that's put out by this firm that studies the global economy. And they study, you know, what's happening nationally. The Fiscal Bureau kind of contextualizes that for Wisconsin based on what actual tax reports are and what they're seeing here. And so a lot of this is kind of national based with the Wisconsin focus based on, you know, what we have in the bank to begin with and, you know, what they say we're going to have at the end.
Well, let's talk about what lawmakers want to do with this, what the governor wants to do with the money. Governor Evers proposed a plan to use more than half of the surplus for tax rebates and to boost education funding.
Because that surplus won't do us any good just sitting here in Madison until the summer of 2023. We have the resources to make sure that every family and every community is doing just as well as our state's economy.
So, Sean, what are the nuts and bolts of Evers' proposal?
The biggest part of it is a tax rebate of $150 per person, which would, you know, cost around close to $900 million, I guess, $816 million. Then you've got another big chunk of it would be set aside for education, $139 million for higher education, $610 million for K-12 education. A lot of the K-12 education stuff would be aimed at keeping local property taxes low. Mm-hmm. And there's a $103 million income tax credit for caregivers. And it's, you know, $1.7 billion altogether. So not spending down the entire projected surplus, but a sizable proposal for sure. And the $150 million tax credit for everyone kind of bears resemblance to something that Governor Scott Walker did in his last you know, year before his reelection, he had a good revenue estimate in 2018 and proposed a child tax credit at the time. So yeah, it's not like exactly the same circumstances. Of course, this is a bigger projected windfall. Times are different, and it's not exactly the same tax credit, but you are seeing some similarities here. It's an election year. There's money in the bank, and you've got a governor here saying, let's give it back to residents of Wisconsin.
Sean Johnson with us, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, as we check in on the latest developments at the Capitol. You can join in 800-642-1234. There is some movement afoot by Republican State Senator Roger Roth, who is working on a bill to eliminate the state's income tax. What do you see here on the response by Republicans to the surplus? And would eliminating the state sales tax have momentum among Roth's colleagues?
So what you're seeing from Republicans so far is a very firm no to the governor. And again, many of them that were here anyway, voted for Governor Scott Walker's child tax rebate 4 years ago. But last week they were very firmly in the no camp. They're saying, we want to hold on to this until the next budget. So, you know, you heard the governor reference 2023 there. That's when, if you hold on to this money until the next budget, that's when you're talking about something happening, because the next budget doesn't take effect until July 1 of 2023. And the next budget might be delivered by Governor Tony Evers. It might be delivered by someone else if Governor Evers loses in November. Clearly, that's what Republicans are hoping for here, because they want to do stuff that Governor Evers won't support. Potentially. He has signed big Republican tax cuts, including in this most recent budget. But if you're talking about a bill that would, you know, eliminate the income tax, which is something that you're seeing floated quite a bit now from, you know, some members of the business community, some new conservative groups, they're pushing that. That's going to probably be a problem, because you're going to see Democrats saying, well, you're creating a more regressive tax system where it's more borne by people who are paying sales tax, you know, are going to be less well off. And so they're going to feel the brunt of this new tax system if you end up doing that.
Let's move on to the governor's election. We saw that former U.S. Senate candidate Kevin Nicholson has officially announced he's running. How is that race shaping up with having Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish also in the race?
It is shaping up to be, the word bruising comes to mind, but it's got that feel to it, a bruising primary. There are, you know, primaries all the time. You can look at over the course of history, you know, Governor Tony Evers won a primary in 2018. Governor Scott Walker won a primary in 2010. Candidates can emerge from primaries and win the general election. It happens all the time. But there can also be primaries where the two candidates really fight it out and focus on each other instead of on the candidate that they want to beat. And the thing with this primary is Kevin Nicholson is a very aggressive candidate who has adopted this outsider mantra and kind of revels in it. It's his political oxygen. You know, he is going after not only Rebecca Clayfish in this primary, but basically, you know, the system. You know, he's going after Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, you know, the most powerful Republican in the legislature, going after the state Republican Party. He's basically saying it's all part of a failed machine and he's the one who can fix it.
And so, he's backed by GOP mega donor Richard Uihlein of Illinois, who tends to fund these anti-establishment candidates.
Absolutely, which is what makes it all the more significant. He's just not a voice in the wilderness making these claims, or some, you know, long shot candidate who might pull 1% in the primary. When you have that kind of money behind you, and the Uihlein family, Richard and Liz were the number four donors in the nation in federal races in the 2020 election cycle. That is some real money and can amplify Nicholson's voice quite a bit.
Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, as we discuss what's moving in political circles, the state Supreme Court is expected to issue a ruling on the legislative and congressional district maps sometime in the near future. We'll look at what's happening in the courts. And what about redistricting? Have you listened to Sean's podcast series, Mapped Out? What do you want to know about redistricting as it stands in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. We take political issues one at a time with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Former conservative Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman was hired for a Republican-ordered probe, as you know, of the 2020 election 7 months ago. It was supposed to be wrapped up in October. And earlier this month, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told WISN-TV about a new timeline.
I've been very clear with Justice Gableman that I want to have legislation on the floor to be able to pass no later than the end of our session, which concludes in March. So that means I really need his report by the end of February for us to be able to utilize that as part of the evidence that we present to the people of Wisconsin as to why we need to make the changes that are necessary in March.
How do you feel about this investigation as it's unfolded? Do you think Gableman's interviews should be done in secret outside the public's purview? What bills are you tracking in the legislature? 800-642-1234, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. John is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, John. What is on your mind?
Good morning. What's on my mind is that Wisconsin's Department of Revenue charges delinquent taxpayers 18% interest on amounts they owe. These people are the poorest among us. They are very vulnerable people. Wisconsin probably pays around 1% when it borrows money, and yet it charges its most vulnerable citizens 18%, which is confiscatory. It's as bad as a credit card, and it's way more than the IRS charges. So I would propose that some of this surplus be used to reduce that rate from 18% to something that is less punitive.
John, it looks like you've looked into this issue. Do you know how other states charge for delinquent taxes and the interest rate in surrounding states?
Wisconsin's at the top of the list. I know of no other state that charges more than 18%.
John, thank you. Sean, your insights here.
John's done more research on this than me. I don't want to offer an uninformed analysis here, and that's what it would be, because this one hasn't come up recently, at least at the Capitol.
John, thank you for the call. Let's move on to the courts. And we heard Speaker Voss there adjusting the timeline for what he wants for the Gableman probe. This is original budget, $676,000 in taxpayer money. When will Gableman conclude this investigation, Sean?
We do not know. I mean, I think that's all anybody can say at this point, because we haven't been given any signs that it's about to wrap up. And, you know, it's almost February. You heard the speaker there say we want it done by the time the legislature adjourns in March. The legislature's last general business or regular session day is scheduled for March 10th. So you're not getting really regular updates from Gableman on how things are going. And in fact, there are signs that he is expanding his investigation. You know, he's issued a number of subpoenas.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if he wants to pursue these subpoenas, there are courts involved there, you know, there is a court case in a judge's courtroom who basically has not shown like an incredible eagerness to move forward with this case in like an expedited fashion. And there's this, it's involving subpoenas of the mayors of Madison and Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
which former Justice Gableman wants to do. And they have, fought those because of the way that he wants to pursue them, you know, in private. is something that they don't want to go along with. There's a case and there's a hearing in that case in April, you know, like late April. So yeah, the courts are not making this any easier for Justice Gableman to move ahead, but that's partly because of, you know, what he's pursuing is, you know, it's questionable whether he has that authority. In fact, there's an argument in multiple courtrooms now in different ways that Gableman doesn't have the kind of authority that he's asserting in this investigation.
We also saw Attorney General Josh Call continuing to attempt to block or at least narrow down the subpoenas of the Evers administration, Elections Commission. What is the latest there on Gableman's request for all documents held by the state related to elections and voting machine companies?
When it comes to the subpoena that Gableman has issued to state officials, those are also kind of up in the air because a judge in that case didn't step in and block the subpoenas, but that's because she said, there's no sign that he's going to like try to enforce them. Mm. There had been talk that that Gableman might try to throw officials in jail, especially the mayors of Madison, Milwaukee, if they didn't comply. And they backed it, you know, Gableman has backed away from that now, possibly because it's just not legally possible. But that's one of the many questions, I guess, as his subpoenas and sort of the net that he's trying to cast grows, there's all sorts of indications from courts that he can't go that far. And here, you know, we've got March 10th approaching pretty fast.
Sean Johnson with us, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, as we round up the issues in state politics, get up to speed. Let's take a call on this, 800-642-1234. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich, go ahead.
Hi, perhaps I'm mistaken, but the same legislators who voted to authorize the spending of not quite three-quarters of $1 million, but like $650,000 or $680,000 to fund the Michael Gableman investigation are now putting the kibosh on Governor Evers' plan to return some of the monies to the people of the state. I'm sorry, it's becoming embarrassing to vote for Republican candidates under these circumstances.
Rich, can I ask you what you have seen so far out of the Gableman investigation? What have you noticed?
A lot of contradictions in terms of a man who seems to be speaking his conscience. That's what he wants me to believe, Michael Gableman, but who lacks a clear conscience.
Rich, thank you. Sean, contradictions. What do you make of that?
I would say this money for, I suppose anytime you talk about government spending money for one thing and not another, you could draw it as a contradiction. I think this $676,000 that was set aside for Justice Gableman is certainly something that has been and will be scrutinized. I think if you want to look for a clearer contradiction, you would look at the way the parties have approached this surplus, depending on where their governor sits. You know, like in 2018, Republicans were pretty quick to turn around and spend a surplus on rebates. Now they're not. In 2018, Democrats were pretty quick to criticize that kind of move. Now they're behind it. I think that money for Gableman, it's nowhere near as much as what the governor is calling for in terms of tax rebates or in terms of the budget surplus, but because of what it's being spent on and how it's being spent, it's definitely going to get scrutinized. And we don't know if it's the end of it either. It's $676,000 right now. You know, it may grow depending on where this investigation goes and how long it lasts.
Also filing this in the 2020 election category, and we'll land on this here, the U.S. House Committee investigating the Capitol insurrection, they've subpoenaed two Wisconsin Republicans. What is going on with former Republican Party of Wisconsin Chair Andrew Hitt and Kelly Rue, the chairwoman of the 8th Congressional District GOP and a DePere council member?
Yeah, this was something that was handed down on Friday, subpoenas from the January 6th committee. They said that they want, they sent it out to people who posed as alternate electors or false electors in several states, including Wisconsin. And so what happened in Wisconsin was the day that the actual presidential electors met for Joe Biden at the Wisconsin State Capitol, and on December 14th of 2020, you had this Republican slate of electors, the false electors, who also met. And they have said, Andrew Hitt, the former state GOP chair, said that they were doing this to preserve legal options for President Trump. Because, you know, as you remember and are reminded of frequently, you know, the president is, you know, former President Trump was frequently criticizing the election, seeking to overturn it. And we'll so have, these.
We'll have to end it there, Sean. Thanks for joining us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.